Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store. And around the world on MikeOMaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Well, it's Thursday and we all know what that means.
Yay. It means you're quite ready.
Hey, look who's here. It's Andrew Langer and it's his birthday.
Yay!
I thought Wednesday was hump day.
Hi, Andrew.
Hi. How are y'all doing?
You made it back. You made it back from Florida okay?
I made it back from two trips to Florida now okay.
Wow. You were in Tallahassee.
I was in Tallahassee yesterday. Tallahassee. I made it back last night.
Any teenagers passed out behind your car in Tallahassee?
Not that I can talk about. Maybe okay. In the bonus show.
Would you care to share with our listening audience, because I have made you somewhat famous on this show.
Yeah. Thank you.
For a variety of reasons.
Or notorious.
Would you like to share your birth date?
Today, year? It's March 21st, 1971, 2 weeks younger than Rob Spiewak.
So isn't it great that I'm 2 weeks older?
He is 71 years young.
No, 71. No. He's 2 weeks younger than me, and look at
well,
what
how
a
old
mess.
Does that make him?
42.
42.
So you're 44?
48 years old, and Andrew is 70.
Wait a minute. Langer, you were born
no.
in the year I graduated high school?
That is frightening.
We're both 42. Andrew and I are both 42 years old.
Oh, so he's just a few months younger than
He's 2 weeks younger than me, and look what a mess I am, and look at him.
So you're both 42-year-old men.
Hot, yes. Happening libertarian.
I am 12 years older than both of you.
Yes, but I think in many ways you're closer.
I am 12 years. And you are both 20 years younger than Buzz.
I think you are closer in age to me somehow than him.
I'm closer in age to my 15-year-old daughter. I proved that last night at the Japanese steakhouse where I couldn't eat rice.
Oh, well, how come?
It's because Carla's restricting my calories.
Oh, I thought rice might have been your server.
Somebody's going to say, wait, not. I've done wait, not. I do. You do wait, not a few times. Then you move on to the regular maintenance thing. And so Carla was just doing this. I was on the wait, not program. I don't want people to freak out.
No.
But I didn't have my rice.
Yeah.
I don't get my rice at the
Chinese. I thought maybe the rice reminded you of skin tags.
No, stop it.
Or maggots.
Those are fine. Can I get to the birthdays, please?
Sure.
Thank you very much.
Do you want the music?
It's America's favorite feature. You've proven that to me. Our birthdays. Friday.
Our birthdays. That's
right. Yes, it's our birthdays.
Mike, are you quite ready?
Welcome to the Dream Hour. Incidentally, I'm going to be performing with the U.S. Marine Band.
Yes.
That comes up this Sunday at Schlesinger Auditorium, Hall, Music Center, whatever they call it. You've gone online and they have three different names for it, but it is the Schlesinger Hall or Schlesinger Hall. And it is 2:00.
Right.
I think it's in Alexandria, Virginia.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I am going to be performing with the 65-piece Marine Band.
Wow, they came to play.
Under the direction of Colonel Michael Colburn.
You're playing woodblocks, right?
No, I'm narrating.
Ah, very good.
I'm narrating.
Well, that's more suited to you.
I'm narrating like this in an old-time radio announcer.
Cool.
In fact, I'll put my hand up to my ear. For the entire thing.
Cool.
And you know what?
2:00. It's free to the public. Come early and get a great seat.
A few weeks ago, you couldn't put your hand to your ear because of the unsightly skin tags. And look, you're better now.
Mike, I'm surprised you're not going to narrate it as Arlie Ermey.
Oh, that would be interesting. Well, that's giving me a totally different read now. What is that? What is that, Private Pyle? Friday was Norman Warner's birthday. As a longtime listener, he'd like to hear from the original and best dueling Michael McDonald's. Well, you know, we've been talking about it, and when you talk about something, you talk about originating it on this show, I think it's important for us to... to do our version of it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think it keeps up. I think it keeps up with the modern times.
So this goes out to, thanks, Rob, this goes out to Norman Warner.
He gave us somewhere back in a long ago. Send him in a fool dance and never get. Maybe we'll be what is yet to be created. He's watching our life.
All right, that's enough. Thank you.
Dueling Michael McDonald's.
What I love is between us, we only know about 10 of the words.
We know yet to be created.
That's really what we know.
What is yet to be created?
Megan Nieto.
Who?
Buenos dias.
Or Nieto. I'm not
Megan
sure.
Megan Nieto.
Nieto.
One
Nieto.
Of yours.
So what you got is Megan Nieto. She turned 18 on Monday, and she's leaving for college this fall. I can relate to that.
Thought you could.
Oh, sad and unlucky. Megan Nieto is 18, and her family wants her to know how proud they are, just like I'm proud of my daughter.
How about that?
Monday was also...
Well, they never say if they're exceptionally proud or not proud at all.
What do you
mean? They just want to know how proud they are.
They want her to know how proud they are.
Yeah, but they might not be very proud, and they want her to know that they're not proud. I imagine they're proud.
I can't have Langer in the studio and you with this energy. You got to dial it down or you're going to give me a nervous break.
You got it.
Thank you, very much. Monday was also a birthday for Bill Barris.
Deep breath.
Of Ripon. Really, because if I have Langer and Rob going at that speed, I'm going to put a shotgun in my mouth today.
Deep, everyone take deep breaths.
Monday was also a birthday for Bill Barris of Ripon, California. R-I-P-O-N. Anybody
know?
Not
entirely know? Sure Ripon. Myself.
I think anyone? Ferris? I think it's Ripon.
Ripon, California, near Modesto. He wants to go way back and hear Buzz do a couple of stanzas of They're Coming to Take Me Away. I'd like to hear that.
Buzz,
too.
Do you want right. the, do you want the record to sing along
oh,
with?
Oh, if you have it, that'd I be do. Great.
Oh, I come go, on. Like, you guys didn't prearrange that.
Remember hate it when you do that. When you, not yet, not too early. When you ran away and I got on my knees and begged you not to leave because I'd go berserk? Well, you left me anyhow, and then the days got worse and worse, and now you see I've gone completely out of my mind. And they're coming to take me away. Ha ha, they're coming to take me away. Ho ho, hee hee, ha ha, to the happy home where life is beautiful all the time, and I'll be happy to see those nice young men in their clean white coats, and they're coming to take me away. Ha ha.
Thank you very much.
I think we all feel better now.
Yeah, I do, certainly.
Very good. Tuesday was the 32nd birthday for swimmer and math teacher Jen Neff. You know, you're sitting there almost with a scowl on
stoically.
Your face. You are really sitting well, over there
a,
like you hate
guy.
This segment.
I'm not a birthday
you're
guy.
Really, I'm, oh, you're really, I'm vibing on
your
that
Your time
now.
Is coming.
There I bet go. I bet there's a word you'd like to say right now.
Tuesday.
Why does that kill me?
Tuesday was the 32nd birthday for swimmer and math teacher Jen Neff. She'd like to hear each of us give a greeting with our best Lowell Melser impressions. No.
All right.
Chris Patterson turned 29 yesterday, which is why he waited till 1 o'clock in the morning to send us that news. But he's a big fan, so he gets a pass. Wes Armstrong turned 49 yesterday. He was one of the court reporters who read back the dialogue on the old show. He'd like to be surprised by a greeting from a character he's not expecting. Well, good. Listen to the show. And yesterday...
oh, face!
...was Douglas Moomy's birthday.
Right. What? Douglas
now,
Moomy.
Doesn't Moomy mean something
yes,
in your family?
Does. How do you remember that?
I remember.
Moomy is what we call poo-poo.
How would you spell it?
My mom would say, do you have to moomy?
How does she spell it, do you think?
When... I probably this way. I hate to say it.
I like
M-O-M-M-Y. Moomy.
M-O-M-M-Y.
When Lost in Space...
That's Mommy.
Yeah, that's Mommy.
When Lost in Space came out...
Yes.
Yeah.
And... M-O-O-M-Y.
Okay, right. Good.
Moomy. When Lost in Space came out and the guy, the character actor was Billy Moomy...
Billy uh-huh. Moomy.
I used to unhinge my jaw laughing. Billy Moomy. Doug's favorite cast member is Oscar, but Doug's friend Richard says Doug tends to make bad decisions just like Oscar. Wow. Oscar's a punching bag on this show. Amy Hayes turns 38 today. She's part of the couple we mentioned in December that makes long drives to Augusta, Georgia every week, listening to TMOS the entire round trip. She'd like a sexy greeting from Buzz.
Amy, there's a 60% chance you'll have a very sexy birthday.
Thank you, Buzz.
Happy birthday.
Tomorrow's baby. The 42nd birthday of David Johnson. He'd just like us to start the effing show.
Yeah.
Now, come on.
That's my
come
guy on. Right there.
Come on. Happy birthday tomorrow to Nick Strijewski.
That's correct.
Nick Strijewski.
What part of Ireland is he from?
He's 14. He's a big fan of Rob's telemarketer calls. So am I.
Thank you.
Tara Reiter-Maroff. God.
Tricky, isn't it? I know.
You know, people, give me two friggin' names, please.
Please, before you write us. In fact, don't even submit your birthday if you have a complicated name.
Tara but Reiter- do submit your birthday if your name is Moomy.
Is that like a maiden name?
I hyphenated, I'm guessing.
Tara Reiter-Maroff.
I want it all, I want it all, I want it all, I want it all, I want it all.
Tara Reiter-Maroff of Granger, Iowa has a birthday Saturday and is a new mother she'd like. We're not going to know.
Oh, wow.
Sorry, I'm in that mood
face.
Today.
Tough wow, you're treating her like Moomy.
Mike's a little crusty today.
How dare you?
Thank you. Josh Gibson has been listening since he got his driver's license. Saturday, he turns 30. Tara, let me just say, I've had a lot of people thinking I've been a little too mean lately.
I don't think so.
February and March, Tara, are mean months for me, and so I want to
they're
apologize.
They're Moomy months
for you. They're Moomy months. I want to apologize, and I would really love to get you some parenting advice from the late Andy Rooney. But you know, Tara,
oh,
I really think when you want too much out of life, it makes you miserable all the time, and you have the 60 minutes. The energy you boys put in there. Wow. Tara Reiter-Maroff. She wants some parenting advice. Well,
I urge you not to have a child after the age of 50, like Mike O'Mara. Thank you.
Right there.
Josh Gibson's been listening since he got his driver's license Saturday. He turns 30. I thought I was going to say, Josh Gibson has been listening since he got his driver's license on his 30th birthday.
Well, Mike, that test is tricky.
I had to take it over.
Josh.
He still listens every day. Josh would like to hear Rob's clip of that guy playing piano and only singing one note over and over.
Oh, do you remember the tone-deaf Brazilian, Mike? It sounded like this.
No! No! No!
Lovely.
No!
That's all we'll have of that.
Oh, I thought that was nice.
Also, Friday, Beatles fan Jeff Crouch was born on an important day in Beatles history, March 22nd, 1963. He'd like Mike to do an impression of someone who likes Paul McCartney. Cesar Perez turns 39. William Whittington celebrates his 57. And Mike St. Pierre also is a Dick Queasy fan, and he lives in the nether regions between Dan Towns and Marcus Serta. Mike's birthday is Monday, so both William Whittington and Mike St. Pierre are big Dick Queasy fans, yes. And I'm going to kind of morph into that right now. I just want to say to William and to Mike St. Pierre, that's a good main name. By golly, I hope you're having a good time up there. Marcus Serta, I've been trying to get on his show for like 7 years, but what he likes to do is send 15 emails for one request, and by golly, I'm tired of reading them.
You know? Hey, Mike, this is Marcus Serta. Do you ever get too many emails?
He was on a thread today. He said, I sent you an email, and then I sent an email. Email to Rob, and Rob's gonna get back to me. We'll work it out. I said, give me a time and a date.
And you'll be there.
How's that? And I put that on the thread, and I'll check the thread later and see if he did that.
That's right.
So that's it. And we have a final letter that is the letter of the week.
Oh, good.
It comes to us. It's anonymous, I believe. Dear TMOS gang, my son and I went on a road trip to visit a college he is considering. On the ride up, he turned down the radio and said, Mom, I have to tell you something.
Here we go.
That's scary. My child, who is witty, funny, sarcastic, and easygoing, had a seriousness about him I had never experienced at that moment. My heart skipped a beat, and I felt like hurling into my purse. I took a deep breath and said, okay, and then he told me that he was gay. Wow. I wasn't completely shocked, but to hear the words come out of his mouth was jolting, to say the least. He's only 17, and he's my baby boy. I told him I loved him. I told him I was proud of him. I told him I supported him no matter what. And I told him this didn't change a thing. He was still my son. After very little discussion, he was done talking about it. He said what he'd had to say, and he was ready to move on. As you can imagine, the car got uncomfortably silent, so I turned on the iPod and queued up one of your bonus shows. Guys, I swear, within 5 minutes, I had completely forgotten what he just told me. All I heard was the laughter of the little boy who, as a toddler, giggled like crazy when he heard Charlie's voice on the radio.
Oh, that's awesome.
The more Oscar and Rob antagonized Mike with every F-bomb dropped and lick it, the laugh got louder and louder. Life went back to normal in the blink of an eye, thanks to you. Well, you know, let me say to the anonymous letter writer, I will tell you this. If this show can somehow make every individual that's out there forget the pain and agony of having a gay son or daughter.
What are you doing?
I'm joking. Start the show.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Jesus.
You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
Hear your names. Mr. Brown. Mr. White. Mr. Blonde. Mr. Blue. Mr. Orange. Mr. Pink.
Why am I Mr. Pink?
Because you're a faggot, all right?
Why can't we pick our own colors?
No way, no way. Tried it once and doesn't work. You get four guys all fighting over who's going to be Mr. Black. But they don't know each other, so nobody wants to back down. No way. I pick. You're Mr. Pink. Be thankful you're not Mr. Yellow.
Yeah, but Mr. Brown, that's a little too close to Mr. Sh. How about if I'm Mr. Purple? I mean, that sounds good to me. I'll be Mr. Purple.
You're not Mr. Purple. Some guy on some other job is Mr. Purple. You're Mr. Pink.
Who cares what your name is?
Yeah, that's easy for you to say. You're Mr. White. You have a cool-sounding name. All right, look, if it's no big deal to be Mr. Pink, you want to trade?
Hey, nobody's trading with anybody. This ain't a goddamn city council meeting, you know. Now listen up, Mr. Pink. There's two ways you can go on this job. My way or the highway. Now, what's it going to be, Mr. Pink?
Jesus Christ, Joe. Forget about it. It's beneath me, you know. I'm Mr. Pink. Let's move on.
I'll move on when I feel like it. Let's go to work.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Buzz Burbank, Bob Spiewak, Oscar Santana. And now, from his couch, here's Mike.
Mr. Tarantino may be a weirdo, but he's a genius. We are live from the Cappy Pfeiffer Studios. This is the Mike O'Mara Show, downloaded worldwide 17.5 million times. We are powered by Encore Insurance. We're at MikeO'MaraShow.com, 102.9 FM WTNT in Washington, D.C., and the mighty 1630 KCJJ in Iowa. Hi to Steve Bridges and Tommy Lang and Tom Suter and Billy Suter.
Hi, all you guys.
All those good folks. Our show today brought to you by our good friends at Encore Insurance Services. I really want to take a minute here and thank the listeners for supporting Encore Insurance, for supporting all of our clients on the show, because that makes it go, and you have a relationship with them, and I'm seeing kind of a trend that we have wonderful relationships with our advertisers, and when you, the listeners, support them, we all have that in common, and I think that's a pretty good friendship to start a basis of a business relationship on. So they bring us the show every weeknight on WTNT 102.9. Even if you already have life insurance, you might be paying too much. Encore may be able to help you, just as they helped Oscar Santana, and you know,
if I die,
right now your rates are incredible because you're young, you're vital, and everything's going fine.
I know
right?
that my brother and sister, when I went to them, I said, look, is it too early to get life insurance? Is it time to do so? They said, no, you got to lock in early.
It's the right time.
Lock in early.
Yeah, take advantage of it.
Yeah.
Before you know it, you get to be my age.
And
anyway,
then what?
For a free, well, then all bets are off. For a free quote, visit smartterm.com or call 866-347-5748. You see that?
Yeah.
Magic glasses. That's
866-347-5748. They'll complete. They'll compare rates. I can't read with these glasses.
I was going to say, take those off, and we won't
well,
be
here's
in
the
3D
problem.
Anymore.
I can read close up, but I can't read that distance. And then, so when I, but now that I take them off, I can read beautifully.
So, what do we need to do? Move your stand closer?
No. No, it's just I have to keep adjusting.
Okay.
That's what I have to do with my Warby Parkers. It's frustrating. They'll compare rates to help you save. Licensing and disclaimer info at smartterm.com. Let them know that you appreciate them as much as we appreciate Encore Insurance Services. And I really sound like I'm all over the room today. I don't know why that's happening. We got to tweak a little bit, Rob. Just a little bit. There we go. I'll try to get closer to the microphone.
Just don't.
I know mic technique, pal.
No, I'm just saying, don't turn your head. If you keep your head locked in, you'll be fine.
Yeah, on mic, Mike. On mic.
I know.
I know how to work a microphone.
I know you do.
Don't RJ Diaz your dad.
Now, with the glasses on, can you see us?
Yeah.
Okay, so they're more for distance.
Because, you know, I look over the top and over the bottom.
Yeah. Well, everyone does that.
I like them when
They're not Warby Parkers. They're bifocals.
Sorry.
My Warby Parkers are on the way.
Yeah, you know what? I thought they weren't Warby Parkers because they're not fashion forward.
They're really not fashion forward at all. They're fashion backward.
You kind of look like the dad in the Mouse movie, Stuart Little.
We welcome a very special guest to the show today. Andrew Langer is here from the Institute for Liberty.
Hey, buddy.
He is my favorite radical right-wing person, and I am delighted to have him here. Did you go to the CDUM convention?
I did. I was at CPAC.
No.
It didn't kill me. Oh, yeah. I was at CPAC. Well, I get a lot of business done
what
there.
What a moron harem that is.
It was, as I like to say, every CPAC is different, and the CPAC was no different. It was.
So did you get a chance to see Sarah Palin?
I saw no speeches.
Really?
I did. I almost never go and attend the official events. I do Radio Row, and I do my own sort of briefings. I did a panel on Friday reconciling the libertarian movement with the conservative movement.
And look, I don't want to paint with a broad brush here, but isn't that just a sea of nut jobs at that thing?
No. No, though I had a very uncomfortable moment when there was apparently one very uncomfortable exchange at a panel sort of talking about redefining race relations, and a group of students from my very far lefty high school in New York had come down. 25 kids.
Wow.
No, seriously. But it was
you know what we call that? On this show,
a high school.
That's right. Yes.
No, this high school makes NPR look like Rush Limbaugh. I mean, they are very, very, it's very, very progressive. And the history professor, or history teacher, comes out and she's like, she's completely shaken. And there was some nuttiness. There's always nuttiness.
Sure.
But I had a great time. You know, I almost had my Mike O'Mara experience. I was out Thursday night. Drinking with friends, and somebody challenged me on our good friend Greg Klein, who's running for Republican
he's the big
Party.
Guy,
he's
right?
the big guy.
Okay, yeah.
running Running for chairman of the Maryland Republican Party, and somebody wanted to challenge me on that, and fisticuffs almost instantly.
Whoa.
Wow.
Because he's a passionate guy.
No, oh, no, but this was some guy coming to me and wanting to talk to me about it, and it was the wrong time.
Getting
and
in
I
your
had,
grill.
I had,
all up in your business.
Yes, I had gone the full spectrum of Omer emotions over
Don't
the course of the evening.
Don't keep referencing me with your bad behavior, pal.
Sorry.
Now, when you say you do Radio Row, I know you do a radio show as well. Were you a guest, or were you actually doing a show?
We recorded our podcast from the Fan Freedom booth for Monday night. We recorded it on Thursday, but no, I was literally doing other people's shows.
Now, when you were walking up and down the row, were you considered a get?
It depends.
Who's that white guy?
Yeah, hey, speaking of somebody to fill in. No, but I'm a guy. I can point out people and bring people in. So you know, somebody
all of a
would
sudden you've
by,
become quite valuable.
Yeah. So I sit there with a buddy of mine, this guy John Justice, who's out of Tucson. Great guy.
Great name.
Yeah, that's a great.
Hey man, I'm John Justice.
How is that for a right wing talk show?
God, the best.
I'm John Justice, and Barack Hussein Obama isn't gonna take my guns away.
John is good people. You guys would like. John, a great deal.
Well, so John, I like you. I like you a lot, and could not be more separated politically. And right. You know, but it's true.
Yeah.
And but you know, the thing about what you do is that you like this show. You like to laugh, and that's what it is. I want to say briefly that I've had me a week with social networking. This morning was amazing. 13 messages, one right after the other, could not have been more positive.
Really?
Supporting our advertisers, telling us just heartwarming stories about how the show has gotten them through a very difficult time.
Thank
it
you.
It was magnificent.
Those.
So that's the majority
Love
of the correspondence I get. But also this week,
uh-oh,
I got news for you, ladies and gentlemen. The show is getting hot because I am getting tons of correspondence, like more than I've ever gotten. It kind of jives with what Mark told us the other day about how successful the show has become. And I've got a lot of this stuff about politics where people get mad and they say they're tired of Buzz's one note and they're tired of, you know, me going political and stuff like that. And I said, yeah, that's part of who we are.
Absolutely.
Turn it down. I mean, Andrew Langer and I, seriously, we disagree on almost everything politically, and we have fun with it. He understands what we're doing here.
Mm-hmm.
It's the way I look at politics, and it's a small part of the show. What were you going to say, Oscar?
I was just going to say that I always thought the show was hot. I just didn't know if you just started reading your messages.
Maybe that's it.
You know how you sense, this carries on the podcast, but also it's with radio. You know how you sense that you've turned a corner. We did something on the show a couple of weeks ago called our New Listener Initiative.
Yeah. Right.
And you, the listeners, went nuts about it.
Thank you.
You supported us so totally.
Up.
And we have seen what I really would describe as a miraculous spike in support and listenership of the show.
Yeah.
And it's resulting in a lot of new people. And I'm going through some of the old battles, but I'm also getting people that are digging this show. And I'm talking as it's a live in the now world, people.
Right.
I'm talking this morning where I was sitting there talking to Pony Boy. He came in and I just said, I have this overwhelming feeling about the traction of this show.
And then did Matt Bloom say, that's great. We need to buy more things.
You know what you need to do? You need to. What I want you to do, okay, that's fine. The guy over here that came, I said, okay, Pony Boy, thank you.
Hey, that's the impression character that the guy wasn't expecting.
There you go.
From the mailbag.
There it is.
There it is. It's
Happy
Matt
birthday,
Bloom.
Sir.
But I told this guy, one of the emails yesterday that threw me off a little bit mentioned my family. And when you go there, you cross a very, very, very serious line.
In what way did they
me.
Mention your family?
Won't go into the details of it. Thank you very much for asking. But I will tell you that it warranted me sending him back a request for clarification because he made me uncomfortable and he said he lived in the area. But he couldn't have gotten back to me fast enough, and he said, I love the show. I said, okay, if you love the show, then the part about the politics that Buzz and I get ranting on once in a while, turn it down if you don't like, or just listen to it and understand it. I've listened to your stuff.
I had a Facebook exchange like that on Saturday, and it was just one of those things where it got very ugly very quickly, and I regretted it. I will say that the one
you're fight on Facebook. It's going to happen occasionally.
Mm-hmm. I will say one of the high points, I hung out with Cameron and John.
John Pop and Cameron Gray from WJFK.
Yes, that's John Pop and Cameron Gray, who work for the NRA.
That's right.
I really would have bet money that there was going to be a different sound effect for John Pop.
There it is.
Bingo!
Thank you very much.
Hi, John.
Rob.
John Pop.
Yeah, there you go.
That song has lyrics.
Wait a minute. John Pop and Cameron Gray work for the NRA? Sorry.
I know, right?
Right? He's got new toys for me, and I play with them. I can't help myself.
They send their best.
So they're doing well?
Oh, they're doing great. They had a great, really great setup at CPAC, and I hung out with them. For
close to the buffet?
Well, now in 30 seconds, we have 30 seconds. 15 for Langer, 15 for me. It's point counterpoint.
Uh-huh.
And I will let Andrew Langer start. And this is just general politics, philosophy, just as broad as it can possibly be in 3, 2, 1. Langer, go.
Mike, you ignorant slut.
That's it. We're done.
Thank you very much. Appreciate
I liked
that.
It. Yeah, thought I thought it went it. Well.
I've been called ignorant a lot. On the program today, I would like to talk about prom invitees. This jogged me when I was hearing the story about that young man that invited Kate Upton to his prom. Hold on. Just keep it in your pants for a while. My wife hit me to this. It's like, doesn't that happen all the time? And I said, we'll discuss that. Jimmy Fallon, the luckiest man in showbiz.
Oh,
safe home, Harry Reams.
Yes. Sad, right?
Oscar, do you know who Harry Reams is?
I have no idea.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah.
That's a real shame.
That's gross.
That's a crime.
That's gross.
Everybody needs to know. It's part of American,
no, you gross me out
American culture. I got a tribute to him myself.
Who wants to travel abroad? Is the world going mad? I figured out the look that makes me hate the news. And did anyone watch Splash, the diving show on NBC? Amazing ratings hit. Tina Fey. On the Actors Studio last night. A lot of stuff to cover that I watched, but Tina Fey on the Actors Studio. I've reamed out, you know, the very reason that I'm going to say
be
I don't like Jimmy.
How you finish this.
the very reason I'm gonna you know give crap to Jimmy Fallon is at the same time I'm going to give props to Tina Fey.
Because
I think Tina Fey has proven to me over the last 6 months that she's the goods. She did it on the Golden Globes, and she did it on the Actors Studio last night. This is a naturally, spontaneously, brilliantly funny woman.
Funny lady.
And, you know, she was doing her impromptu Sarah Palin. And look, they might have asked her to do that in the pre-interview so she had some material prepped. I don't care. It's the way she delivers it, and she just made me laugh out loud. And it's nice to see that show, which I really watch to get insight on celebrities and see somebody really entertain the audience and make me laugh. I think Tina Fey truly is a brilliantly
smart. I brought in her 10 questions. Would you like to hear the tape of it with James last night?
Well, is it the Sarah Palin segment?
No,
or
this
what?
Is the 10 questions, how he ends every interview.
You can play that in the vault a little bit if you want to.
Doubt we'll get to it, but I had it.
Yeah. You know, it's just, I mean, that's the part where your favorite sound and all
what
that.
What do you want to hear when you get to heaven?
That's the part that always gets me a little verklempt when he asks that question, what is your favorite sound? And some of the actors have just really, really poignant one. That was actually her weaker moment.
I always tear up a little bit when I see how he's dyed his beard.
Oh, my God.
That makes me sad.
How old do you think James Lipton really is?
I think he's 71.
You think so?
Yeah, I bet we can find it.
I can find out.
Yeah, please do.
Yeah, because he does seem like he is, he seems like he may be failing fast.
The question is, who was older? James Lipton or Harry Reams?
Did I power down or did we mention that this segment is sponsored by Scorbig?
We did not mention that.
Oh, did we come back already?
No, we haven't.
Did we ever go away?
No, we haven't.
We didn't break.
Oh, well, then the next segment will be fine. We were going to break after the you and Langer debate.
Yeah, we're actually coming back after we take a break.
Very good.
But we're not taking a break yet.
Okay. He powered down to answer his question.
What's that?
He powered down.
He's entitled. Yeah. He can do that occasionally. Let me tell you this. I was reading this on online this morning that street prostitution. In Paris, that they there's a very good chance that they may legalize it.
Oh, wow.
Really?
So we were discussing.
God, I haven't been over there in years.
We were discussing road trip. So I just wanted to say, hey, France, Paris, Paris specifically, we're coming your way.
It's a long
Paris.
Way to go.
It's going
to
be great.
Lipton is 86.
Lipton 86? Is 86 years young. All right,
and Harry Reams, 65.
I knew it. I knew that he carries himself like, you know, he sits and he's sort of hunched there, and it almost looks like he could be in a wheelchair.
Born September 19th, 1926.
Yep. Good Lord, good for him, man. Yeah. Good for him.
Old,
still grinding,
and loves acting. And I have always, to be honest, here's a little treat for you. When I do interviews, and when I was doing a lot of interviews on the old radio show, I like to prep as much as he does. I like to be prepared for guests that are coming on. And I like to listen to interviews from people like Charlie Rose and James Lipton where they are prepared as opposed to Larry King that's like, what do you have for breakfast today?
Your other preparation.
I'm curious. There we go.
Your other preparation was coloring your beard and being 86.
But I was watching Tina Fey and she was really fantastic.
I love her.
And it's kind of the opposite that I feel about the whole Saturday Night Live gang. I really get frustrated with Jimmy Fallon and Lauren Michaels, and I want to talk about that when we come back. And also, prom invitees, more fun, more thrills. We're here on the Mike O'Mara Show. You are, too. We'll take a break. Come right back. Home.
like a stone, and I feel hanging in your arms.
Are you Mumford or Son?
Son.
Okay.
No. Just pardon me. I'm riffing a little bit.
Wish we were known. We'll
you need your Jews harp.
I do. What's the hook line?
I will wait.
I will wait for you. Sudafed, that's what they
are.
Hit it, Rob.
Here we go.
This portion of the Michael Myers Show.
I don't care what you say. That's in the act. That is in the act.
Yeah, it should be.
Perfect pitch.
This portion of the program is brought to you by the folks that Buzz wants to mention twice every show. Scorebig.com.
Taking well, he likes family, the sports games, Mike.
He does. Taking your family to a game or any event can be really expensive, and teams like the Yankees want to crush you.
Yeah.
What a jerk store.
Almost want to talk to Langer about that.
Taking your family to a game is expensive, especially if you're paying too much for tickets. Imagine getting great seats at up to 60% below box office price. That's on your first stop. Whatever you want to see, it's scorebig.com. We're not talking about games. We're talking about the ice capades.
Of course. Mm-hmm.
We're talking about anything you want to see, shows, whether it's Cirque du Soleil. Well, perhaps the Broadway show you'd like to see.
Yes.
Do they do Broadway shows,
They've
Mark?
Got everything.
They do.
Yeah.
Do they do Broadway as
they
well?
Do, yeah. I
caught a great deal on my wrestling tickets there.
If you go to scorebig.com, not only do you get up to 60% below box office, but you can also get $30 off your first order when you enter our code, which is TMOS. Please support them. They are a great website to get great deals on tickets, great seats, below box office prices, and an extra $30 off with no extra fees ever. Very important. Go to scorebig.com and enter our code TMOS. Does that satisfy you?
Very much so. And I'd like to add and hand it off to Langer here and see if he heard about this. The Maryland Supreme Court this week struck down Ticketmaster's fees. Mm. Now, this isn't entirely settled yet, but it's a very, very good sign. And it's the very fees that Scorebig is talking about, the very fees that Fan Freedom
and
has been talking
at the
about.
Same, another news story that came up about tickets that I was reading this morning, the New York Yankees filed some sort of legal action to prevent StubHub from, and I'm sure Scorebig appreciates this, but mentioning both Ticketmaster and StubHub.
Sorry about that.
Sorry, Scorebig. I apologize.
Better service,
that's Buzz Scorebig, Dumb One and Mike Dumb Two. That's the way that works.
Well, the commercial was over.
But the fact is that they shut them down, so they can't have a ticket location right next to Yankee Stadium.
Yeah, so the Yankees do not like the secondary marketplace. They've created their own. That's exactly right.
They're so greedy. Oh, they're so flipping greedy. It's like, come on.
I went into this. Yeah, this is why I was in Tallahassee. We were dealing with Ticketmaster and the whole buy. I mean, they want to make it. I'll tell you this much. Overcriminalization is one of the huge issues for me, which is if you keep adding to laws and laws, so everybody becomes a criminal.
Right.
So the deputy sheriff in Orange County was in Tallahassee testifying yesterday, equating ticket resellers with drug dealers and saying we now have to make ticket reselling the same as a class one felony, because otherwise we won't prosecute these guys.
You know, when I had a few more shekels to rub together, and I would go down to City of Palms Park down in Boston, and I'm sorry, down in Fort Myers, which is the Boston Red Sox spring training, and I would be down there, and it was fun. I'm sorry,
absolutely.
It's
you
part
had
of the game.
Guys, you had the guys out on the street.
Got two,
you
got
found,
two.
And you would find your own best deal. And some of the guys were out there to get as much as they could. Yeah. And then you'd find the little old lady that's on a fixed income that had her spring training season tickets.
Absolutely.
And she would come up to me. I'll never forget the ones I got. And she sold them to me for face value.
Mm-hmm.
And I walked in, and I was on the dugout. It's the greatest ticket sale that I've ever got. But you know what? I had the money to do that. People were going down and buying tickets. It's America, man.
Freedom.
Have a little
Where's
fun.
The freedom? Yeah.
Exactly. And they call it scalping and all that stuff.
And that's insensitive to our Native American friends.
You know what? I think I don't know how you feel so about this, but ticket scalping and these companies that sell on the secondary market becoming too important with their secondary fees that are simply designed to pad their pockets.
Sure.
That has to be controlled. But when you own your tickets, God damn it, you should be able to do whatever you want.
Fraud is fraud. So obviously, you know, anybody who's selling tickets that don't exist is bad.
That's a crime.
Folks who sell tickets that they don't have in hand, and that's a problem that needs to be cracked down upon.
That's a crime.
Anybody who uses a computer system to go and jump the line and buying tickets when we're all buying tickets, you know, so they go and it's called they're called bots. Anybody who uses bots, that ought to be
explain that to me. So how does that work?
This idea, you know, normally they'll usually at a venue will have a limit on the number of tickets you can buy.
Right.
What'll happen is somebody will use a computer program and they'll just keep logging in and they'll keep buying tickets and maybe they'll use multiple credit cards.
So they'll corner the market.
Yeah, and they'll corner the market. That's a problem. And there are a lot of laws that exist to deal with that.
Right.
So all of those things we believe are you can legislate and sort of deal with these unsavory, unethical, illegal practices. But beyond that, this idea of having a secondary marketplace, you can't force me to either buy or sell on your market. Like the Yankees should not be able to force me to go on. I'm a Yankee fan.
Right.
Yes, I know.
Can I just interrupt for a second? I think a very typical example. This is before you came to us with Fan Freedom. I didn't even know it existed.
Yeah.
But I am a person. I'll give you my entire story about why I sell my tickets, folks. This is the way it goes. I am on a waiting list for 3.5 years to get season tickets to the Boston Red Sox. Why? Because I can't get tickets at a price that I could afford normally.
Piecemeal.
And until I get down there where I can go to more games, and I took all you guys to games down there.
Thank you again.
What do I do with the ones I don't use? I sell them.
Of course.
Right. And if I can make a profit and cover my cost for the tickets, which I didn't do this year.
Yeah.
I did it last year. I didn't do this year. Red Sox, could you please win? That makes a difference if you win. But that's the example we're talking about here. And what it is really the little guy. This is the little guy.
This
is protecting the little guy.
When you're out there and you're doing your Fan Freedom stuff, how is this any different than buying a ball cap and selling it on eBay?
Well, see, and that's exactly it. This is where it comes down to. There's this discussion as to whether or not a ticket is a good or a license.
Okay.
And so it's this whole legal fiction that's sprung up, and I
absolutely
really,
as clear as day. It's not a license.
And I got in. There's the Florida representative who was putting up. I so wanted to get up in this guy's grill afterwards because he was just out there lying. He doesn't know what he's talking about.
Right.
And my buddy at Fan Freedom, John Potter, who runs Fan Freedom, said, no, just don't deal with it. Because he said this thing. He said that tickets have no intrinsic value beyond the concert or event you go to.
Right.
And that is true in one sense. But if you go on eBay right now, there are 10,000 ticket stubs to concerts that folks went to in the past that they are selling
souvenirs.
On eBay. Souvenirs.
Right.
And so this idea that a ticket is not a good, that it can't be given to somebody else or transferred to somebody else, is just idiotic. It was 70 years ago, there may have been, actually, the first time it was, I think the representative said 1845 or 1865, the first laws that said that a ticket is a license and not a good came out.
And it was about a Rolling Stones concert?
It was. That's exactly right. Mick Jagger.
First tour.
But, you know, really? And a lot of it had to do with the right of a venue owner to keep out, frankly, black people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this idea that they could just kick somebody out because they didn't know who was going to be sitting in the seats. So
right, now I'm listening.
Yes. Yeah, so,
no, I'm kidding.
Like a lot of these protectionist laws were built out of sort of Jim Crow, you know, laws that have their basis in racism.
Right.
And so, you know, or anti-counterfeiting. And so now we don't abide by that. We don't abide by, you know, laws that keep out, that separate the races.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And we don't abide by, you know, when we have these great anti-counterfeiting measures. So the idea of treating a ticket as a license and not a good is really very antiquated, and it needs to catch up with the rest
and
of
that one. That's why what's the only people you represent that will ever be on this show. That's terrific. Fan
Actually,
Freedom.
I was thinking, no, that's not true, because I did that Disney Dark Side.
Oh, remember? You did that Disney Dark Side. Yeah, you do, even with your politics, you do take on some bad people once in a while.
There you go.
I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Well, that's nice.
That's my operative phrase, my operative ideology these days is I think of what is Mike going to be proud of?
I do that every day.
It's what keeps us all going,
exactly.
Really. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just, you know, when you stand out in those public squares with that gun over your head.
Well,
don't care for that.
That's when I get a little hinky on that one.
Yeah.
We're running out of time in this segment, right. But I do want to say Jimmy Fallon, apparently major controversy at NBC where Jimmy Fallon is going to be named the successor to Jay Leno.
Right.
And here's the thing about it. The NBC has categorically denied that they are moving Fallon into the Tonight Show.
That makes it true.
And that's why, yeah, exactly. But here's the thing that they always do, and they're building him a brand new studio.
Of course.
Right. Corporate America in media is so transparent. They're terrible. We'll talk about Jimmy Fallon. We'll talk about Harry Reams. And we'll talk about more fun and more thrills, including our exclusive Israel representative when we come back on the Mike O'Mara Show. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. We are delighted to have you with us, and this segment of the program is brought to you by Vistaprint.com. If you're starting a new business, we tell you about it all the time. Go to Vistaprint.com and get some fantastic business cards. We got to get that address out for where people can send them. People are confused.
All right.
Boys, I've asked three times. Get it out there. Let people know. Give them right now. Where is an address they can send? Doesn't have to be your place. Can they send it? Do we have a P.O. box? Do we need to have a P.O. box?
We do.
This little game about sending crap to Rob's house is over. Thank you very much.
No,
we are now going to have a post office box.
I know the game is over, but I've asked too many details revealed.
I have asked for
too many.
I have asked for people to send business cards, and we always say, I can't really, but we'll get them. You know, I want to get them. I want to get the business cards.
Please, if you want to send us a card, please email us at info@mikeomarashow.com.
That's all I was looking for. Address. I just didn't want to go into the entire dance again. Were you holding up a business card,
it's
Andrew?
It's my Vistaprint business card.
Yeah.
Two-sided, too.
Two-sided,
too. We want to see yours. You can get 250 of them for $10, and they're the good ones, too, with heavy paper stock.
Love
TMOS, that's that wonderful code, gets you the free shipping. Check them out at Vistaprint.com. I really look forward to it because I know that our insane listeners are clamoring do this, and they also have, you know, they're not all like standard business cards.
No.
I'm looking forward to getting the
we
funny
see
ones.
Them.
Send us
see
your
them.
Business card. We're not doing a contest. We just want the funny from you.
That's
if
all.
You send along a business card, we would appreciate it, and get your cards at Vistaprint.com.
Yeah.
Getting back to Jimmy Fallon, with NBC. I wrote this down this morning. I said, Jimmy Fallon is the luckiest man in showbiz.
Never has so much been achieved on so little talent.
Unbelievable.
See, I disagree.
And you
wow,
know what?
Has this ever happened?
I've always said I was a fan. I didn't just change my mind.
I'm going to put the BS meter on you now because you have never met a youthful media story that you did not want to attach to. You can, if you are sincerely a fan of Jimmy Fallon, I will accept that.
Yes.
But I also think that Jimmy Fallon,
you have to say why,
is kind of the roots, kind of trendy, kind of young, and that's where a lot of his marketability comes through. If you can tell me why you think he's all that great.
I saw Jimmy Fallon in concert, the 930 Club. Might have been 2001 before he was doing some warm-up acts before he went and hosted the VMAs.
Right.
And at that point, that was my wheelhouse. I worked for a rock station. So I'd heard of Jimmy Fallon. I'd seen him on TV. But in my world, a Saturday Night Live isn't as important, isn't as big as it is in most people's worlds because growing up, I just didn't have that in embedded in my life.
Okay.
I would hear about it from other people, but my parents were watching Univision and Telemundo. But I know...
Sábado Gigante is more important.
Yeah, Sábado Gigante was on.
Sábado Gigante!
And that means Giant Saturday.
Yeah, and Noticiero...
Right. Spanish for Saturday Night Live.
And Noticiero de Univision would come on at 11. That's all I would get with my parents.
Right.
But as I grew up, I realized that, you know, Jimmy Fallon as a talent and as hard as he works and what he does to... Now, I would agree that he's kind of one or two dimensional.
Let me stop
that.
You right there.
Yeah.
Right away, when you say as hard as he works.
Yes.
It's not how I measure a comedian. I don't care. In the business...
He entertains.
In the business, you can respect a guy for that. But when you're... I'm just taking it as a guy sitting in front of the TV.
Talent
as far
value.
As, you know, I can look at... I never process how hard Letterman works or how hard Leno works. And as a matter of fact, when they used to talk about the hours that Leno kept, I rolled my eyes and said, okay, yeah, you start writing your jokes in your kitchen with your staff and look what we got. I don't mind respecting a guy if you like his talent, but as hard as he works and stuff like that.
Well, I guess, I respect that.
That's not just how I'm going to measure the... I'm looking at him just as the
take
performer.
Take that away as a talent. I think that when I catch Jay Leno, because when Conan first went to late night, I enjoyed that. Most of America clearly didn't because they let him go.
Yeah.
But I like Conan.
I liked Conan. I loved his writing.
I'll take Conan over Jimmy Fallon any day.
Will you take Jimmy Fallon over Jimmy Kimmel?
No. I think Jimmy Kimmel's number one.
You're right. I think we all agree on
that. But from what they have to choose from, when I watch Leno, even when Jim Norton is on, and I enjoy watching Jim Norton, even when he's on...
Big fan of the Dynamite Show.
Jim
Norton. Thanks for referencing that.
Look, I'm giving you my example.
I know. I'm just saying you just opened up a wide wound.
Leno, I think, is...
You know that Jimmy Norton was... Opie and Anthony's attack dog for Don and Mike.
I'm giving you my play-by-play.
Son of a bitch.
So,
bastard.
Maybe they should give him the Tonight Show.
Jimmy Norton?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then the Tonight Show is brought to you by Whores with VD.
When I watch Jay Leno, I feel like he's a hack.
Right.
Yeah, I agree.
We agree with that.
So the only other option is either you try to do something with Conan in my heart, which that ship has sailed,
right?
Or you put Jimmy Fallon on, which is a better option.
And I think that's settling, and that's why I mentioned that I think he's the luckiest guy in show business. And I really think this speaks to a larger issue. And part of this came out on the Actors Studio with Tina Fey when she was talking about Lorne and Lorne and Lorne and Lorne. Yeah. And when you really look at NBC, it really should all be NBC Lorne Michaels.
Right.
Yeah. Because it's just... You get a guy that Lorne likes, and Lorne likes a certain type. I think that is so incredibly obvious. I mean, over the years, I think you've seen the Bill Murrays and Dan Aykroyds sort of go to the side.
Pushed away, yeah.
And the new guys coming up are not like Bill Murray, who was not pretty on any level, was not that attractive, but hysterically funny. Aykroyd the same way, not a classic. Right. And you've seen him, replaced by the Jimmy Fallons and the Seth Meyers. Although Seth's talented, he's not on a lot of sketches. But you've seen these kind of just bland, sort of attractive
thin, white,
men.
Metrosexual men. Yeah.
What about Will Ferrell?
Will Ferrell is
not funny.
Probably, yeah. I mean, to be honest with you, not all that funny.
How do we work so well together? When and you know, I love Will Ferrell.
Yeah,
like I don't. You know what? I'm out. I'm tapping out. You guys,
I have to give you, Mike, a quote from an NBC executive who said that Jimmy Fallon is the closest thing we've found in the new generation to Johnny Carson.
That's fair.
I knew you would have that reaction. That's why I wanted to tell you.
What's the over-under?
I just think the guys. What Oscar said it though.
Yeah.
In his defense of Jimmy Fallon, you explain what it is. What else do we have to choose from? And we don't.
At NBC,
they put a lot of eggs in the basket when they gave him Letterman's old time slot because that was traditionally the grooming time slot to move up. And then it didn't happen.
It's just.
But that's what they've got. How about Lester Holt?
Saturday Night Live is such a franchise, and it's been around for so long. But I think that's part of its problem is that it just has been around for so long.
Mm-hmm.
And I think every television show, I really do believe it's the one medium where, and it's not like movie stars or radio shows. I think radio shows, thank God, can last for a long time because the nature of what they are.
Yeah.
I think television shows should be finite because of the very nature of
how
they
are. That's what the BBC
does. Yeah, they should tweak them a little bit.
How much money do you think it takes to put on one of those shows?
What, as far as a live like show, Jimmy and Jimmy Fallon? Yeah. I have no earthly
idea. It's one of the cheapest shows for them to generate.
So if it's that cheap, you think they would have, like, let's say the farm system now went from Leno to Conan at one point when he was on NBC, to Fallon, and then to Carson Daly with his, like, late night show.
Mm-hmm.
So you have
another... It's these same metrosexual guys that are just like...
They bring nothing.
Good looking. Yeah, they're just blah. Right.
So now...
and they're not educated
now
either.
NBC is stuck with three. And your last here is Carson Daly, who I don't know. I was a fan of his.
I take that back about education because I have no idea what Jimmy Fallon's education is.
Oh, he went to Dean University.
Dean College.
Forgive me.
But there's no... Where's the farm team? If the farm team is Saturday Night Live in one way or another...
Right.
I mean, that farm team isn't that great.
Well, and the other reason...
It's
that
frustrating.
They blew it because they let Conan get away because of the whole Leno debacle. Mm-hmm. Conan should be really still coming into his own. What was that, 3 years ago?
Yeah, but he's on TBS.
I know they lost him, but in the long range
plan.
Yeah,
welcome to oblivion.
He should have been on for 15 years, which would have given them 15 years.
They didn't give him time.
They didn't.
Well,
they did
that's
not
what
give him
What's
time.
The over-under on how long Jimmy Fallon is in the Tonight Show spot before Jay Leno decides he wants to come back?
I don't think Leno can come back again.
Leno's taking all done. Leno's burning. You know, it's so funny. Jay, the one that's like, I don't really care about everything. You know, every night now, apparently, I don't watch the show.
He's
I read about it that he's just trashing NBC every night now.
Now, did you all? You didn't bring up
I love that.
One of the rumors I heard on the NBC News last night, which is funny that NBC News is reporting that NBC is denying the rumors.
Right.
But do you know that they plan to bring the Tonight Show back to New York?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that's well, they're building Jimmy Fallon's brand new studio,
which means we might get to hear this again, Mike.
No, we're not going to hear that again. No, that was just
from New York.
But do you think that's stupid? Because now they're the reason that Carson moved it to L.A.
and the reason that Jay Leno was successful
is the better talent pool.
Absolutely.
And Hollywood now not only are they not going to have access to Hollywood stars, they're going to be splitting them.
I think you're
splitting them with Letterman.
I think it's a conscious decision. I think that It's different.
I bet Lauren likes it.
The world is different than it was when The Tonight Show moved out to Los Angeles because proximity doesn't matter that much. These celebrities are shooting their movies and doing their different TV shows all over the world now. They really are.
Still, they've got to keep their eye on Letterman, and they're going to be splitting time with Letterman.
When does Letterman retire?
I think about that. Every time I watch Letterman, I think about that because I think it's time.
I think he was thinking about it a lot this week.
About five minutes after Leno does, I think.
Yeah, you know, maybe he will.
He had a disastrous episode this week where they were trying to do a phoner to the Vatican.
Right.
And it totally failed the first time through. And they went so far as to come back with the band again to reset it, but they left the first failure in the show.
Oh, and they did it.
Three times, and he wouldn't, of course, he dwelled on it the whole show, and he kept saying, well, maybe we better call the Vatican again, because it was over his head the whole
show.
Yeah. It was back-breakingly awkward. It was really bad. Wow. And I think he gets a few more weeks he's going to get out of there, but he's making so much money.
Well, you know, the thing about Letterman is it's a totally different style than Leno. It's been around for a while. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm all for new talent coming up, but as far as Jimmy Fallon, I think what it is, don't make any mistake about it. There's jealousy here, too, when you look at a guy like that. But he reminds me of certain guys in radio.
Tommy McFly.
Oh, yeah.
Who just, they fall forward.
You're giving him too much credit.
I know. Tommy McFly?
Come on.
No, but I mean, Tommy McFly is...
I mean, I don't know him.
No, Tommy McFly doesn't have ratings where I'm particularly... I'm using an example of a guy that... Jimmy Fallon, when I watch Jimmy Fallon, I feel like Jimmy Fallon does a great show for himself. He is really happy.
That's well said.
He is really happy with every show he does, and I just wish that... He didn't think he was so goddamn cute.
That's what I've always hated about Jimmy Fallon.
It's like, I'm really excited.
Do you get the impression that it's like showing up to a great, great dinner party and not bringing anything?
Yeah.
That's what he does every night.
Jimmy Kimmel has the edge.
There's the goods right
there. Jimmy Kimmel is the only guy working right now that's going to be around for a while that has that.
NBC should have stole him.
But Jimmy's got the edge. Jimmy Kimmel's got that edge with also... a warmth that Carson didn't even have.
Right. Affability. He's so affable.
That's right.
What about Ryan Seacrest?
Oh, God.
Too sterile.
A wonderful host. But not a comedian.
But mark my words that he will pick up one of those shows.
Yes. Probably. Because the talent pool is
not the. Not, I'm not talking about the Tonight Show. I'm talking about the Carson Daly Show.
I don't think he will, and I'll tell you why. Because Dick Clark never went that route.
Right, it's not his style.
He might host a Fallops Bleeps and Blunders. Yeah. He might do like Bandstand, but it's not in his bag.
But you saw at the Olympics. What was he doing at the Olympics?
Let me throw a name
out. Just getting their value.
A man who's right for the time, and a man who's a little older, but a guy who's right for the times, and I think would be perfect because he's got the edge, and I think he's got an amazing likability factor. Louis C.K. I think that is a guy.
Oh, for late night. Yeah.
I think you could put him in there. I think he's bright enough to do it on the fly. Mm-hmm. I like the fact that he's kind of
smart.
And that's what we want.
However, does he have any sort of affability when he's one on one with someone? That remains to be seen.
I've seen him interviewed. Yeah, I kind of like the guy when he's out there.
Different on the other side, though.
He's somebody, though. I think to make those shows engaging, you have to pluck somebody from the comedy world and not necessarily from the announcer world. Ryan Seacrest is a great host.
An MC.
And a great MC, but I don't know if he's got the stand-up comedy stuff where that would intrigue
Gilbert Gottfried.
Gilbert Gottfried.
I'd watch.
Should be fun to see play out, though.
Gilbert Gottfried. I think he's as old as James Lipton. So,
82-year-old Gilbert Gottfried.
The last word on this as far as Jimmy Fallon. NBC categorically denying that they are giving Jimmy Fallon the Tonight Show. So that means count on it.
Bet on it.
It is etched in stone.
Now, I hadn't heard that they're building him a studio. Do you know where they're going to build the studio?
Where? New York, in Rock 30 Rock.
Rock 30 Rock. Yeah.
Are they really?
Yeah, elsewhere in the building.
God, it must be nice. It really must really be cool. Nice.
Well, I mean, that's what they do. They build studios. They say, hey, here's what we're going to give you. We're going to give, the Roots are going to be over here. And then they come out on the press and they say, no, we're not doing it. We're not giving him the Tonight Show. Of course, you're not going to be investing the money in building. You're not going to be investing that money because you've got the Late Late Show. Mm-hmm. You're going to be investing the money because you're putting the guy.
If media is your spectator sport, then your team has got to be NBC because they've been screwing up since Carson left.
You know,
they've screwed up with Letterman.
That's 1992.
Ever since.
Radio is
and
like-
their parents. parent company is screwing up my podcast.
Yes.
True. Radio is just like Cable TV. Town.
It's exactly like
think
TV.
About you're
corporate
about,
radio.
I remember as a baby DJ and a t-shirt slinger and promotions trying to break into the business.
That'd be a great Vistaprint card for you. Oscar Santana.
T-shirt slinger.
T-shirt slinger.
And I remember sitting there and they would build a new studio for a new morning show.
Right.
They would build a new studio for a new afternoon show.
Right.
They would build a new studio. It would always be something new.
Yep.
And I'd sit there and I was like, I just saw probably six or seven shows do one show out of the same studio. Why does the other group need a brand new studio?
Because corporate entities like to the cost. This is my theory on this. I'm not sure whether I'm 100% right, but my theory is these corporate entities will build a brand new studio because that is cheaper than paying more or promoting more.
Mm.
And it's like giving you a title. Yeah. It's like giving you a title. You're going to be the executive assistant to the program director.
Yeah, yeah.
Are we going to get a raise?
Yeah.
No, but that's a great title to put on your resume.
Yeah.
That's the same thing. Okay, so what's the promotional budget for the show? Are you going to give us a TV campaign? Yeah. Are you going to give us a bus board campaign? No, we're not, but we're going to give you a new studio.
Yeah. There is a great story that Will Wheaton tells about being on Star Trek The Next Generation and going into a contract negotiation. And he wanted more money. They said, no. We're going to promote you from ensign to lieutenant. And he says,
on the show?
Yes.
On the show. Because he was young enough where they're. That's what they do.
Says, you know, Starfleet isn't a real organization.
Right.
It really doesn't matter.
It's not, and it's not confined to media. You know, all companies do this where they will say they give you title.
Right.
They give, that TV show that I'm slowly warming to. I think the season finale was this week. Girls. I've actually recommitted to that show a little bit.
Hannah is a mess. Are you kidding me?
And that's when. And I fell in love with her. As soon as I realized,
nice dresser though.
As soon, you know though. Please, can I, this is just my request.
Keep your shirt on.
Please don't go sleeveless.
Oh,
please. I get tired of looking that abomination of a tattoo.
I think what she needs
right
to
arm.
Do. If girls could triple their viewership if they had her in a hoodie every week. and for God's sake, keep it zipped up.
I know we're skipping all over the place, but one of the boyfriends on one of the characters, they are talking about giving him a title.
Right.
And, you know, I need my title to be better. He's giving him basically the same job, but he's giving him a fancier title to manage the pizza store.
Yeah.
He still loses the girl in the end. But
that's right.
And also, the other thought about that show, Girls, watching that, is it Brian Williams' daughter that's on that show?
Yes.
And dad watches every show with her?
Does that not? That's something I can't. Yeah. The whole family watches together.
He watches every show. Sometimes they watch together.
Well, let me say the last.
I can't get that out of my head.
The last episode, let me just say this.
Oh, the role playing one?
The No. This was, I think, more recent than that. This is where the young lady who is now finally hooked up with her long lost love, they've been on and off for a couple of years, and he is, shall I say this delicately, engaging in an activity that is making her smile.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And she is commenting on how skilled he is at that activity.
I haven't seen this one.
And she is saying, you know, where did you learn to do that? Have you been dating a lot of girls since we've been apart? And it's right there. And I suddenly, every time I see this young lady, because she resembles her father a little bit, I picture...
Got the Williams jaw.
I picture Brian Williams going, you know, that was a great... that was a great job, honey. What a great performance when he was... I mean, I put myself in that position.
Right.
Brian Williams is ahead of the game as a dad. I mean, really, hats off to him.
Before he's given up.
That show can be very, very
graphic. Mood leveling drugs.
It's
mood leveling drugs.
When he did that, and then they get together at the end. But the show is a little more vulnerable, and I'm okay with it. I think Girls is a pretty good show. I think that they almost make an effort to hire people that are unusual looking and not classic movie star.
I would agree with you
and that's what makes Brian Williams' daughter jump off the screen a little bit. Especially when she was getting that activity.
Sure.
She sure enjoyed herself. There wasn't any doubt about that.
Well, it's what's not to like.
Listen, when we come back, it's Rob's Magic Audio Vault, and we never got to our special correspondent from Israel. Can we just talk to him for a second?
Absolutely.
All right. See if the is the satellite up and running?
I believe it is, yes.
All right. We'll try to do that. We'll come back right after this on the Michael Mara Show. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody. We talk about our wonderful relationships that we have with our clients, and I want to thank our listeners for supporting RC Kitchens. You know, if I can talk about RC Kitchens and small businesses all over America, we are a small business, and a long time ago, in a land far away, The home remodeling industry was under siege by the big box stores and by big corporate America.
Right.
We talk about the big evil corporations. I'm here to tell you, one of the things I share with this wonderful guy over at RC Kitchens is that, you know, he's a small business. He's trying to get it done, and he's trying to take care of his employees. I try to do the same thing here, and I think it's important, really. You know, not that you all judge me on how funny the show is. You judge him on how good his kitchens are.
Right.
We know they're terrific. They do a great job. You can see it online. You can see the examples of the work he does. But really, we have to be mindful in this day and age, in this economy, of other small businesses that are out there trying to get her done.
Right. Yeah.
And if you get a guy that's really good, he's supporting me, and I want you to support him. It's RC Kitchens, and they're terrific. And Rory does a great job. Rory Callahan at RC Kitchens. They give you tremendous service. They give you estimates that are honest with time and money.
Right.
So they will not have you hanging for 2 months because they said the date that was incorrect at the beginning. Estimates from RC Kitchens are guaranteed, and they serve the D.C. area all the way down to the beaches of Delmarva. If you are outside the D.C. area, RC Kitchen still might be able to help you. So contact our good friend Rory Callahan, a small business owner who is supporting a small business owner.
Love it. Shop small,
and
shop local.
You know what, man? Yeah. I was thinking about this morning, that we take care of our own in this country, supporting small businesses. If you've even had a thought about remodeling your kitchen,
right,
give this guy a call, Rory Callahan at rckitchens.com.
Well, he considers himself an artist, and the people who work for him, he considers them artists, and they care about quality as
you've
much
had
as
a
anything
personal
else.
Experience with him, right?
I plan to. We've talked, and but he's all about the quality. He's all about the artistic nature of the work.
Good. It's rckitchens.com. Nice. Check them out. Support them the way they've supported us. Let's get
do
right
it
to the audio vault. Well, do we have the
is the Skype
thing
up?
Yeah, it is. It's up. I got it.
Hold on just a second.
Okay. Now we have an exclusive
it's first in itself.
We have an exclusive interview with a contact or someone who's covering all the Netanyahu and Barack
Obama correspondent.
Yeah, correspondent.
I think it's working.
Yes. Hello.
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 I'm in the bathroom.
Oh, is it Jackie Mason?
I'm in the bathroom.
Why did we send Jackie Mason?
I'm covering the president in Israel.
Were you going there anyway?
I was going to go there for several times a year.
How come?
I go over there several times a year. The president comes over. I thought it's a big deal. We're going to have a good time. I had a fantastic time. He's meeting with Netanyahu. Talking about the Israel.
Now, are you as Jackie Mason, or are you the blue aardvark right now?
I got to get that meatball. I just wanted to say everything's going fantastically. All right. How you doing? Hey, Oscar.
Yes.
How about that Jimmy Fallon? What a schputz.
Oh, I've got a question.
Yes, go ahead, Oscar.
So the president spends 5 hours in the Gaza Strip. Is that enough?
Hold on just a second.
Oh, Jackie.
Whoa, take a look at that.
No.
Hey, somebody sunk my battleship.
That ain't a macaroon.
What was your question?
What are your thoughts on the president's visit?
Well, I'm not making a big deal about it. He comes over on Air Force One. His limo breaks down. They send another Indian limo in from Jordan. Then he meets with Netanyahu, and he tells the Israelis that he's all for Israel. He's not for Israel, but we think he's for the Palestinians. And it's a big thing. And it's a big confusing thing. We're always crazy about that. It always works out that way. But I'm really glad that he's in Israel, and that's great. And then that Chuck Todd gets up to the MBC and makes them.
Hey, do you have time for one more question?
One more question, then I know you got to go to the audio vault.
How are
what's
you
on the audio vault today?
I will actually have Chuck Todd getting his balls
that's
busted.
That's good. Chuck Todd should get his balls busted. He's a kingdom.
My question, before we let you go, I think we're about to lose the satellite.
Yes, it is.
How's your moomy?
Let me take a look.
Oh, no.
Hold on just a second. No. Ooh, wow. Hey, look at that. It's poking out of the water.
No, oh, stop bye-bye. It. Thank you. Jackie Mason checking in.
Mm-hmm.
Did you open the thing?
No.
Open the thing. Thank you.
Oh, you know what it is, Mike?
What?
Tonight at 9:45 p.m., tip-off, fifth-seeded VCU takes on number 12, Akron.
Who's their leading scorer, Rob?
I have a favorite player.
You do?
He's excellent. I'll keep your eye on number 33, center D.J. Haley.
There you go.
D.J. Haley.
There you go.
You got it.
Player of the day, VCU. Makes me happy.
Not only, Mike, he is the first seven-footer on VCU's team in 10 years.
You did your homework. I'm
he
proud of you,
he also plays saxophone and piano. He's a favorite.
Stop. This might be my happiest moment of the show.
He is an absolute... he's an absolute crowd favorite. And everyone is going to love when D.J. Haley hits the boards. VCU, go Rams, go! So that'll be tonight at 9:45, and I'll be watching it, so go Rams.
I can't hate Ron when he goes through all that trouble.
Yes, I mean, doesn't it make you feel good?
I can't hate him, yeah.
Makes you feel good like
yes,
makes
you can.
It's because he cared. I love it.
Right.
He brought me so much joy with that.
He cares.
Go Rams.
We go Rams.
Are you having trouble keeping track of all the teams in the bracket?
Because
there's 68 teams.
I haven't given it a lot of thought.
Commit this song to memory and it'll make it easier.
Oh, good.
It'll keep track of them.
All of them.
Golden Gophers, Golden Eagles, Blue Devils, Blue Raiders, Running Rebels, Two Gales, Tar Heels, Crusaders, Owls, Cardinals, Blue Jays, Eagles, Ducks, and Blackbirds, Bearcats, Jaguars, Three Tigers and Panthers, Two Bulldogs, Wolfpack, Lobos, Four Wildcats, Bison, Buffaloes, Grizzlies, Two Bruins, and Bears. Take a deep breath. We're only halfway there.
More.
Cowboys, Aztecs, Spartans, Two Aggies, Shuckers, Fighting Irish, Hoosiers, Sooners, Dukes, and Hilltoppers, Crimson, Orange, Hoyas, Gators, Badgers, Flames, Hurricanes, Cyclones, Broncos, Explorers, Zips, and Great Danes, a couple of Rams, Jayhawks, Demons, Wolverines, Jackrabbits, Billikens, Buckeyes, Illini, Rebels, that's it. Write them down, fill out your brackets. It's March Madness.
So if you memorize that song, you'll be in Fat
City. It'd be better as a rag.
Well, it might be better in ragtime. Now, you know who Obama picked to go all the way?
Who's that?
Indiana.
I'm going Louisville. I know it's not a surprise pick, and I'm going with Indiana. These are the two best teams right now, and for the championship, I'm going back to the Big Ten. I think this is Indiana's year.
How cool would it be if Indiana really won after that?
I'd love it.
Fixed.
It'd be very cool. Now, but the other good thing that he did yesterday is you and I share a love of Lester Holt.
Yes.
And we share a hatred of Chuck Todd.
Amen.
I'm sorry, Mike. Chuck Todd, who's out there covering the White House.
But now he's over Thieves. Sneaky little bastard.
He's over Thieves covering the president and Netanyahu.
Right.
And they were allowed one question at the press conference. And Chuck Todd asked four. And what I love is that the president called him on it, and Benjamin Netanyahu got a great laugh.
Right. Another question I had for you is, why do you
Chuck,
believe...
how many you got? Do you guys do this in the Israeli press? You say you get one question, and then you add
well,
like
I'm
five.
Helping him. I'm helping him with his
You see how the young lady from Channel 1, she had one question? She was very well behaved, Chuck.
This is not a kosher question, but don't hog it.
Chuck, I mean, you're just incorrigible.
I told you before the show, Mike, I was going to give you a grammar lesson.
That's right.
This is a great list of all places. This comes from Reader's Digest, and you still take Reader's Digest, don't you?
It shows up at the door.
I love this because it combines two things I love, grammar and rock and roll music. These are some of the least grammatically correct songs of all time.
Grammar rock.
Yeah, at number six is U2. You're not supposed to end a sentence with a preposition, so the name of the song should be I Still Haven't Found For Which I Am Looking.
That's right. He's right.
I wouldn't pick up haven't found what I'm looking for is bad grammar.
All right, at number five.
It's good usage.
Number five.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously. It really should be, I can't get any satisfaction. Right. Obviously, using the word no instead of any is slang, and it makes it a double negative. So, in fact, Mick Jagger's saying he's getting satisfaction.
Or right. You could say, I can get no satisfaction.
You can right. do that.
I can get no
goes.
Satisfaction.
Okay, you guys, all right, don't overanalyze.
At number
my
four.
Brain
something strange. Ray Parker Jr., how are you? Because it is an object, technically it should be, to whom are you going to call? But again, it doesn't really roll off the tongue. And if you want to clean up more of the lyrics, it should say, if it's something weird and it doesn't look good, whom are you going to call? Ghostbusters, I'm not afraid of any ghost. Okay, I forget where we are here. And the next one, it belongs to, lover, Tina Turner. The lyric should actually be, what's love have to do with it? Because the word got isn't a synonym for the word That's have, him. Though everyone uses it like it is. So you could say, I have to do something or I've got to do something.
Right.
But on the second one, you're still using the word
have.
Well,
you know, one of the biggest ones ever, isn't it the ad campaign? Got milk?
Yeah, that's wrong.
It should be have milk.
Exactly.
Do you have milk?
And you know what? Do you know that Ford changed their, 2 years ago, it was go farther. And they changed it to go further because people were cutting out the ads, so it said go fart.
Oh, wow.
So they had to change it.
But farther is the correct usage, and they've changed it now to the incorrect word, which is further.
But now they're not making gas jokes. Our last one, Mike.
Would it be, the great blues song that I used to play with my band, Further On Down the Road, would it be correct to say farther on down the road?
More correct, because if farther is for distance.
Wow.
Yeah. Further is to advance your career. For example, you want to further your career, the house is farther down the road.
So you drive farther to get here, but you have not furthered your career.
If you exactly. go farther, you will further your career.
There you go. Very good. And I lost the numbering here, but our final one is indeed the Black Eyed Peas. Should technically be, I have a feeling. And the middle word is spelled gotta, which is slang for have to. So technically the title translates is, I have to feeling. So grammar is fun. We have a wonderful language. Please learn how to use it. And we close. You know what? With all the stuff going on, we've lost focus of the fact that, yes, we've installed a new pope.
Mm-hmm.
And more facts keep coming out about the pope.
He'll be visiting periodically on the show.
What's new? God, I hope so. Well, Letterman revealed something last night I had no idea about.
We know a few things about the pope, and we'll learn more as the weeks and months go by. He was a nightclub bouncer. That's phenomenal.
It's true.
This, I believe, and I looked it up. I'm not a theologian, but I looked this up, and I believe he's the only pope in the history of the Catholic Church who in his lifetime has ever said, as he was a nightclub bouncer.
Uh-huh. Yes.
And I believe in his lifetime, the only pope who ever said, "You've had enough, Miss Lowen."
That, Mike, that is your magic audio ball.
That's good stuff. We'll take a break, come back with buzz and news. This is the Mike O'Mara Show. I don't know why I'm singing so much today. Welcome back to the show. It's time to get our newsman in here. Take it away, Buzz Burbank.
Thank you, Mike. We're brought to you today by the Mike O'Mara Show animated series. Download the Strine Studios cartoons for just $2.99 each, or subscribe to the whole series for just $15. Don't miss the latest about Mike's dog, Frankie. Hilarious. Season 3, Episode 4, as we like to call it, available now. The Mike O'Mara Show animated series available only at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
There is a style to Gabe Strine that I do not get bored
brilliant.
With.
Brilliant.
Maybe it's... maybe it's that. Maybe it's because it's always about us.
It is.
No,
but you know
no.
what?
That's a lot of it.
I don't think Warner Brothers Studios in their golden age could animate something with this show and make it look right.
And
somehow
it's raw
when Gabe
real.
Does it, yeah. it looks right.
He has a way of marrying our humor with his humor, and mm-hmm. the end result is just always amazing.
Check it out. It's great stuff.
It's a bit of a risk to talk on a handheld cell phone while you're driving. It's downright crazy to
Mark.
Text and drive.
Mark Ronick.
I don't.
But there's...
Don't hurt me.
Come on.
You guys. But there's one other distraction that's worse than all the others. Having kids in the car.
Amen.
A new study says having...
Oh, you love this story.
A new study says having kids in the car is 12 times more distracting than talking on the phone.
This is very true. You know, a cell phone has never thrown a car seat at my wife.
That's true.
And see? Robert did on the Dulles Toll Road.
Very strong.
70 miles an hour threw a car seat at her.
I rest
kid.
My case.
That was last week. I'm kidding.
No, that was you last week. Researchers in Australia confirmed this by putting cameras in cars with kids. The cameras caught the driver looking away from the road for nearly 3.5 minutes out of a 16-minute ride. That's more than 1/5 of the drive during which the driver wasn't watching where they were going. Among children, babies were the most severe distraction.
Oh, I hate babies.
The average baby is 8 times more distracting than an adult passenger in the car.
I swear to God, I don't want you to... Help! Help, my father. I have a great memory of my dad, though, because we'd always be bad in the car.
Yeah.
Kids are bad
don't
in
make
the car.
Me turn Mike, this around.
You're misbehaving.
And he would do the, the fact where he'd lean over the back seat.
Oh, and swing?
Yeah, just like, you kids. Yeah. We're going to go like that, and he'd be reaching right. for us, and we're like ducking in the back seat.
And because there were no seatbelts, you could duck and dodge him.
Chad Amen. Ram would be throwing hammers at you.
Chad Ram.
Hey, do you think that study holds water? Because don't you think the people would also be distracted by the fact there's a camera in their car?
That's funny.
Babies, of course, are one of the byproducts of sex, and there's also a smattering of sex news today, if you'll pardon my use of the word smattering.
I will.
Some doctors in New York are starting to give women collagen injections in their G-spots. By enlarging that pleasure point, 85% of women having the procedure report increased pleasure. The procedure is not recommended for women who don't experience pleasure there in the first place, or those who conversely find sex painful.
I smell a rat with this. I bet
that
it's
ain't
a
rat.
Lie. No, I bet it's a lie. I bet it's a lie.
Well, there's one problem is they have a hard time finding where to give the injection.
By making it larger. By making it larger, they make it more sensitive because it's a little bit stretched. And
they're saying
also
that.
Easier to hit.
I don't believe it.
Only for women who feel it. This procedure is really only for women who already feel that they have a G-spot and want to feel it more.
Yeah. Well, does this sound like an ad?
Yeah, it does. Also, the women with the enlarged G-spot, very distracted when driving.
You can...
All those bumps.
In Austin, Texas, a urologist in Austin whose real name is Richard Chop.
Oh, no!
He's offering a March Madness special on vasectomies, which is his specialty. Doc says if you're going to be on the couch watching games anyway, you might as well be recovering from his 20-minute procedure.
Yeah, but it hurts, right, Rob?
It does hurt. Mm-hmm. It hurts not only physically, but mentally.
Still.
That's funny.
And porn pioneer Harry Reams has died at the age of 65 from pancreatic cancer. He was best known for his role in the 1972 classic Deep Throat, a film that set off a huge censorship debate across the country. Harry Reams, real name Herbert Stryker, only made $250 on that film.
Some of the first pornos I ever watched yes. were with Harry Reams. He did a lot of stuff with a lady that's been on the program, Ginger Lynn.
Mm-hmm. He did a movie that I had, you know, back when porn was so precious.
Yes.
Because you just would find one.
And limited. You didn't have as much as you do
today. He did a parody of One Day at a Time called One Night at a Time, in which he played the Schneider character. Safe home, Mr. Reams.
Yeah, but that tool belt would stay on.
And despite the fact that he fell into drug problems, he went on to be very successful in real estate, which is what he was doing when he passed.
That's pretty funny.
I spoke to him once to try and get him on the old show, and
really?
He wouldn't do it.
Oh, really?
He said, I'm doing fine with real estate. I don't need to talk about that.
He didn't want
to
go back.
Very pleasant fella.
Mm-hmm. We're just days away from a point at which the government begins to shut down for lack of funding, but the Senate yesterday passed a bill that would kick that deadline down the road a bit and keep the government running. The bill includes 10 measures that would soften the blow of some of the budget cuts that went into effect 3 weeks ago as part of the sequestration. The House has until Friday to go along with the plan because the House leaves for another two-week vacation on Friday.
Hey, don't believe the lies that the government's going to shut down and that if we're kicking the can down the road, it's going to be a total disaster. That's all crap that's created by the Republican establishment.
Langer's on the case.
That was just for you.
I'm sorry, Andrew. We're out of time. Up until now, the CIA has conducted the drone strikes that we have carried out overseas. The White House is now working to take that job out of the hands of the spy agency and give it to the military instead. The Air Force, of course, already has its own drones, but yesterday, one of them drifted about 800 miles off course.
That's like us going to Orlando on our way to Fort Myers.
Funny you should mention that. It happened.
Never again.
It happened in Florida, naturally. The drone that was supposed to have been in the Florida panhandle wound up in Key Largo instead. Very close. Very close.
Very nearly.
That's the length of the state.
That's right.
Wow.
The $500,000 drone was rescued and returned in a truck.
Wow. That's pretty funny.
Wow.
Sean Moore of Carneys Point, New Jersey, says his constitutional rights were violated when he got a visit from the Division of Children and Family Services. The agency dropped in on Sean's home after word got out that he had given his 11-year-old son an assault rifle for the boy's birthday.
11 years old.
Right.
Okay, terrific.
In Minnesota.
They're your people, Langer.
He was an NRA instructor, by the way.
A 12-year-old. Well, you can't doubt the judgment of an 11 or 12-year-old. In Minnesota, a 12-year-old's been arrested for filing a fake report about a shooter at his middle school. His report prompted the entire school district to lock down for 2 hours.
Wow.
See, what he was hoping is to be sent home. Yeah, because so it bit him in the ass.
Yeah, like he had a test or something.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, can't blame the kid
jerk.
For that.
Yeah. You ever try that one?
No.
Lockdown?
No.
Lockdown the school because I'm not really good on my periodic table.
You know what I remembered when I was coming up in school? Pulling we would have the firearm or the bomb scare.
Mm. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we had those.
Yeah, that was before bombs weren't funny anymore. Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, but before that, we'd always have bomb scare, bomb.
Bombs, drinking and driving, smoking with kids in the car. Those were all cool back then.
They were all fun.
When Mike was in school, all the bombs looked like bowling balls with fuses on them. They just look like a Roadrunner bomb.
Oh, and if you're thinking about a security system for your home, the Eli Lilly Drug Company recommends that you use security from some other firm other than ADT.
Mm-hmm.
Lilly blames ADT for allowing the theft of millions of dollars in drugs from its warehouse in Connecticut.
Oh, wow. Really?
Good job, ADT.
Eli Lilly.
Meanwhile, Buzz is quite pleased.
And finally... Finally, a cop never knows, as we've heard recently, a cop never knows what might happen during a routine traffic stop. It could be deadly, or they could die laughing.
Mm-hmm.
In Kalamazoo, Michigan, a man who'd been stopped volunteered that he had a deer in the trunk, one that he had struck and killed. He said he was taking it home to turn it into food.
Mm.
But before the officers could see for themselves, the deer sprang to life, kicked open the trunk.
See this video?
Yes.
Jumped out
Amazing.
And ran away.
That was great.
And in Lawrence, Indiana, police found pot in the car of a young man pulled over for speeding. The man swore that the pot wasn't his, as he explained to the officers to prove his point. If I'd known that was in the car, I would have smoked it. I'm Buzz Burbank on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Thank you, Buzz.
You bet.
Our show today was brought to you by Encore Insurance Services. They bring you the show every weeknight right here on WTNT 102.9. Even if you already have life insurance, you might be paying too much. Encore may be able to help you. Check them out. Licensing and disclaimer info is in Smart Term, two words, smartterm.com. Let them know that you appreciate them supporting this show, Encore Insurance Services. Andrew Langer, any big plans for your birthday?
Yeah, doing this show.
Congratulations.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, good guy, Andrew Langer.
It's amazing. You do not look 83. We'll be back tomorrow. And on the bonus hour, on tomorrow's bonus, you better stick around. We're talking about relationships, including a major reveal that I think will be very interesting for all of you.
If
we'll
I'm,
see that.
If I may add, what could possibly go wrong?
Exactly. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye-bye. Ciao, ciao.
Thank you.